Tell us a little background. How did this place come about?
Well, this place was the vision of the North Dakota Farmers Union, and I was lucky enough to have them come after me and chase me down to help run it. And the whole idea was to not only use the influential power of the farmers and the lobbyists, but actually start putting the practices in motion to actually put the food on the table and hit a wider audience, not just the congressmen on the Hill, but the people on the street, and give them an opportunity to come in and see what sustainably farmed product was, see what American family farmers were doing and what their values were, and take it into a major metropolitan area. And me being a hick from upstate New York, I guess they said I'd represent it well because I wasn't too citified yet.
Well, how'd they find you up in upstate New York?
Well, I was actually down in D.C. running an Italian restaurant of all things, and just keeping myself busy and doing a pretty good job of it, and I guess they had heard I was an okay guy and trustworthy and hardworking, and they liked the values, and so they hunted me down and asked me to come aboard, and it was a no-brainer for me. I had worked for corporate America for about 7 years and learned what I could learn, and then when I had time or an opportunity to do something bigger than myself and bigger than restaurants, because this building's really about that. It's not just about the food and the restaurant experience. It's the fact that we're owned and supported by farmers. We're the first LEED Gold restaurant of our class in the United States. We're a green restaurant, so you know that we're supporting farmers not just East and West Coast, but locally and regionally when we can, too. And in this business, you don't get a lot of time to volunteer after church on Sundays. You don't get a lot of time to volunteer at the soup kitchen. So the time you do have is in the restaurant, and you got to make it count. And so I made the decision to make it count.
Is this the first venture of the farm group in this restaurant here?
This is the second. They have another upscale restaurant down in the Georgetown waterfront. I like this one because I don't have to wear a tie.
Good point. I like that. You're my kind of guy.
I understand this is one of the hottest spots in town, though, that it's pretty hard to even get a table here.
That's what they tell me. But what I've managed to do and what I ask the staff to do is mind your manners, and the success will come to you, but you don't let it go to your head, and that you enjoy it. And I think they've done a really good job of that. We've hired people who the first thing they did when they walked in the door, they smiled. And we knew if they did that they had a certain kind of class and they had a certain kind of personality that we wanted to work with. So whether or not we're the hot spot or not, we're not going to let it affect us. We're just going to keep on doing what we know how to do, and that's just deliver good American comfort food with a smile and then just being able to communicate with people.
And where does most of the food that you're serving here originate from?
All over the place. All over the place. We work with small honeybee providers out of Wisconsin. We work out of Pineland Ranch out of Maine. We get our shellfish off of the Gulf Coast, which a lot of people in Maryland are upset about. But we said, you know what, until we can get that Chesapeake Bay area to recover the way it should, well, let's not promote more pillaging of that area. Right now we're getting our salmon from New England as well, because you're not going to get any Pacific salmon right now because they're not running. So we found a place that uses reservoir raised, organically raised salmon. Where else are we getting some of our food from? All of our dairy is coming local, so we're supporting that. And right now we're actually working with a company out of Maryland, very small farm collective of farmers, for our new bratwurst that we're going to start carrying here, because we heard that the president likes a good bratwurst once in a while, so we just kind of put a little spin on it. So really we're trying to support farmers far and near when we can.
What about like beef and pork? Where are you getting that from?
Right now we're getting our Duroc pork from Iowa, and we're getting our beef from New England. Small little place called Pineland Ranch. It's a collective of ranchers up in New England.
What's the most popular dish?
Believe it or not, the most popular dish right now is our country fried chicken. Comes with our homemade macaroni and cheese. We have the one thing that we didn't buy here in the States was our Italian pasta machine. We said if you're going to do pasta, the Italians know how to do it well. Let's get our machine from them. So we do our macaroni through a machine that we got over there. But it's macaroni and cheese. It's two pieces of fried chicken, a waffle with Vermont maple syrup, and then the vegetable of the day. That's one of the top sellers. And then the other one for lunches is good old-fashioned grilled cheese sandwich with tomato soup. We didn't put it on the menu because we said, well, it might not be fancy here for the people in D.C. They might not get it, but we kept it on just kind of taking a chance, and it's our number one seller during lunches, and people absolutely love it.
How long have you been open?
Since September 18th, and it's been a whirlwind, but it's been awesome.
How are you telling the story of agriculture and educating the consuming public all the way through the wait staff and how they interact with the customers?
I have a great advantage because I actually went to school to be a history teacher. So I relate it to what I know. I talk about, you know, 14, 15, 1600s, people actually were a lot smarter than some of the farm practices that some people are using today. And that if you're rotating your crops, if you're using sustainable agriculture, if you're using smart natural irrigation, if you're not basing all your growth on chemicals, that you're going to have a product and you're going to have a system that's going to be there for generations to come, and we're not going to burn out one of the most valuable commodities that this country has. And so we kind of spread that message, a little bit of patriotism, a little bit of common sense, and the servers have really picked up on it. You know, it's something that they're proud of, and they've all been educated on it, but it wasn't hard to educate them. It's, I'll tell you, some of their server classes were the easiest classes I've ever had to teach. Going from teaching modern European history to teaching people about American farmers was a good change, and it was a lot easier.
Is this a prototype that we might see in other metropolitan spots?
We have people, we have North Dakota Farmers Union and other investors that are interested in helping us grow Founding Farmers, but we've made a decision and dedicated ourselves to doing this restaurant right before we start growing. A lot of us, a lot of the management team has experience with both mom and pop restaurants and then also corporate restaurants, and we've seen where the good mom and pop restaurants, when they decide to get bigger, they do it too fast. They lose their management, they lose their integrity, they lose their mission, and we've made a dedication not to let that happen. So to say that we want to grow, absolutely, but we want to do it at our pace and at the right time.
Thank you so much.
Good job.